Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
We were going to take some questions out of the chat room. Chat room's not working, so if you want to call in and ask Mike a question, our phone number is 516-453-9389. It's 516-453-9389. Mike is the co-writer and the director of the movie coming out next month, probably about 2 or 3 weeks now. It's called Armageddon. Many of us are looking forward to it, especially those of us that are in the prepper and the patriot culture and subculture. We are really looking forward to it. The issue we're having is we're trying to get our movie theaters to pick up the film and run it. A lot of them aren't even doing that, Mike.
Yeah, they're starting to come around slowly but surely, and that is strictly due to, the preppers, the patriots, the gun owners, mm-hmm. the people that are sick and tired of what's going on in our country, and those people's voices are now starting to be heard. In just the last week, we booked 10 more theaters, and it's really due to the people that are now awake, that are sick and tired of what's going on with our country, and that's just
right.
What our movie Armageddon is about.
I'll tell you, as soon as we saw some of the, I read some of the comments about, some of the, just the brief film clips that we've seen, and my response to them was, you know what, where were you when Mike was asking for money to make this film? Where were you guys?
Let me tell you, that's very interesting because, I come from more of a faith-based drama background, but my business partner, Gary Haven, he has been a prepper for 20 years. He has seen what's been going on, and he's the one, and it was basically our deal. We did another film a year and a half ago, and he said, now we're doing something that I want to do. And he says, it's going to piss off a lot of people. And I'm like, oh, great. Okay, what is it? And, he gave me the rundown of the story. He started educating me more on what is happening within our country. When I first read the screenplay for Armageddon, I was like, wow, could this happen? And in a year and a half since we've been on this project, from when we started writing it to we're putting it out, it's like a domino effect. Just about everything that is in the movie I've seen now take place on TV. And so it was a lot of foresight on his part, but it was also it was ballsy too on his part, because this is a very influential man that's saying, hey, we've got a criminal cabal in Washington. I'm sick of it, and I'm going to make a movie and expose it. Not like Hollywood likes to do, is they like to kind of tinker with it. Ooh, the government's bad, this and that. But,
right.
They put a nice pretty bow on it, make it into a big movie with Jennifer Lawrence or something. What we've done is we've just taken the hardcore truth, the facts about what's going on, and we implemented those into the film Armageddon. We put that into the film, and it just goes straight from the executive order of 13603 all the way through to them not protecting our power grid, all the way to the United Nations coming to arrest an army officer for disobeying his colonel for not firing on American citizens. So, we touch on a lot of subjects, and we don't really – it's a movie, but this is like fact, 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 fact. Everything that's going on. Half the country, or maybe more, think we're a bunch of nuts on this.
Right.
And maybe 2 years ago, I wouldn't have thought we were nuts, but I would really think, I'm not educated enough on this to understand it. But the last, you know, 2 years, my eyes have been open very wide on what's going on. And what I need to do is Mike Norris, just a movie director, you know, from Los Angeles, California, that now lives in Texas, what I need to do to protect my family.
Let me ask you this, if I could.
Yeah.
Well, before I get going, my partner, Terry, he's on the road right now somewhere in Missouri. So when he calls in, it's just, the sound quality is just all shot to hell. But he wanted to ask me, he wanted me to ask you a question.
Yeah.
In the opening, we see the one of the characters testifying in front of one of the, looks like a Senate subcommittee.
Oh, you broke up just a little bit there.
Was that supposed to be Dr. Pry, the character that is supposed to be talking to the Senate subcommittee?
Uh-huh.
Is that supposed to be Dr. Pry?
No.
Dr. Pry?
No, and I'm not sure who Dr. Pry is. Like I said, I'm new to it. I don't know, you know, the exact who, what, and where on a lot of things. But, you know, that scene within the subcommittee, it was really all laid out facts in our way of saying, hey, you know what, this has all been put right in front of you, and they flat out said this, and this is all on public record. They say a lot of these things were just funding bills, you know, that they're using, and it was just to really expose the corruption of our government.
Right.
So, but I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know who Dr. Pry is.
Dr. Pry,
I'm gonna find
has
out.
Been. Yeah, look, he's all over the place, and apparently he is going around. We just got I got a call last month from a couple guys down in Louisiana, and they said that he had an emergency meeting, a meeting with the emergency management agencies of all the states. He's going to every state, every capital, and what they're doing is they're doing a they're talking about an EMP grid down situation, what the state's responsibility is supposed to be, what FEMA's responsibility is supposed to be. And they're having some closed door sessions, but it's also open to the public where the public can go in. They're just not advertising it. Now, the last one, the governors are all there at this meeting, but he's been going around to all the state capitals, and Dr. Pry is very impressive with his resume. He's been doing talking about EMP since the Reagan presidency back in 85. And
wow.
This guy is the man. He talks about the grid downs and all. This guy is the man. If you get a chance, look at he's all over the internet, and
I'm definitely going to check it out. But I mean, what a scenario that is. You know, if that were to come to pass,
Think about it.
In our movie we depicted by a North Korean satellite that launches off a nuclear warhead 300 kilometers above above the Earth and knocks out the power grid. But you know, in the real world, hey, we could be hacked. Our internet could be hacked. There's a number of ways for that to go down. And, you know, people just refuse. People refuse to acknowledge the facts of what's going on and what really imminent danger we're in as a country when this happens, because I really feel it's going to happen in one form or another. And let me tell you, we say it in the movie, and because what we wanted to do in Amerigeddon, what was really important was we kind of wanted to educate the people like me in the world that, you know, you've kind of heard of it, you've heard of these things, but you know what? Let me flip over to whatever. You know, I don't want to hear it. You know, it's happening, but I don't want to hear it. That's kind of what was my mentality, and. But if you think about it, the American family has 3 days of food. 3 days of food. The power goes down. You know, and everybody listening to this radio program knows exactly what's going to happen. But what we needed to do is we needed to show people that maybe aren't so knowledgeable about prepping, aren't so knowledgeable people about, you know, what our government's really doing and what they're really up to and who's really, you know, pulling the puppet strings. We made that movie to help educate them, and we also wanted to bring in the people that they know this stuff. They know this is real, and it's a movie. It's just a movie, but it's an important movie. And it was very early on that I realized that this was different than anything I've ever done before, just because of the resistance and the backlash that I've taken in the last year and a half. You know, about doing this film. It's apparent that we've touched a nerve. And, you know, now it's just about, hey, you know what? This is more than a movie to us. This has now become a cause for us to get this out there and let people see. And like I said, and it's very important, there's a lot of very smart, very knowledgeable preppers out there that they get what's going on. But there's a lot of people in imminent danger that need to understand here. These are the basics that are going to get you through the first month.
Right.
So, it's a scary proposition. It's very scary, and it's very important that we let people know. And, you know, we could have done a documentary or something, but, you know, I'm a filmmaker. Gary Haven, he wanted to make a movie about this. And it's really his baby, his brainchild, and he just entrusted me to make sure we got it done on time and on budget. So
right, there you go. I think my partners are Terry. Terry, you in yet?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
I was just listening. Mr. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Terry. Glad to meet you, sir.
Yeah, it's an honor. I tell you what, we've been really anticipating your arrival.
I'm sorry it took a little longer than expected. That was bad on me, and I apologize for that.
Oh, you know, we're easy
flexible
around here. Yeah, we're easy. But it's like, you know, your movie is going right in step with the type of message that we put here on the Contra Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the Agenda 21, the confiscations of guns,
mm-hmm.
the brutal tactic that could be in play that's been written into our national defense when you're talking about like martial law and things like this. It's a lot of fears that a lot of people have. And here we like to say that we're not crazy preppers. We're smart preppers, you know.
We're smart
preppers. We're just seeing what's going on. I mean, it's on the news. It's all over the place. It's not like we're special investigators. And
but you know what? I find that interesting that people like us get branded as these, you know, a little bit crazy, whatever it may be.
Nuts.
But the realities are, we're smart. I mean, why not be prepared? You put gas in your car. You put gas in your car. You're prepared. You know, you change your oil.
Right.
You're prepared. This is life we're dealing with.
Oh yeah. Before we used to just call them pantries, or just have your regular. Oh well, if the power goes out, we have flashlights. We have extra batteries. You know. Simple thing. But the type of situation that we're talking about is much, much more in depth. That could last months or a year or possibly indefinitely. So we really don't know. And that's why there can be no expert preppers. Nobody can be an expert because we can't tell the future. So
nobody's gone through it yet. Who's actually lived through it?
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. That's a great statement. Nobody's lived through this yet.
So who
knows.
Could be an expert at this?
Yeah,
we're doing
exactly.
The best we can just based on what we think is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then it comes Mike Norris with his film, and he accurately portrays the North Koreans for the scumbags they are. And I don't put it past them for trying to do something like this. I don't put it past them at all.
And I don't put it past our government.
I don't either. Remember that old TV show Jericho?
Yep.
They had that old, on CBS, that old TV show Jericho, when it was the one of the corporations had co-opted the government into a nuclear strike on the country, and it was a mess. And I'm thinking, well, why not? If you got the right cabal, and then you know you have in Washington now, which is only concerned about themselves and maintaining their own power, you know what? It's not beyond them to pull something like this crap. What do they care?
Yeah, and trust me, those people. Hey, you want to talk about preppers? They're preppers, and they know what's going on. That's what's interesting to me. You know, we're out here, you know, I am now, let's just say a low level, you know, I've got 6 months of food. I've got my, you know, my arms, I've got a place to go that could be self-sufficient for years to come. But these people,
right. You
hear it every day on the radio or on TV, or, you know, alternative media is where you're getting it's the only place you could get real news now.
Exactly.
You know, you turn on Fox and all this crap and they're not telling you anything. And so I just firmly believe these people are prepared for impending doom. And so they're prepared. Why not the average American citizen?
Well,
exactly.
Our government has stored away billions and billions of rounds, ammunition. They've also taken companies like Mountain House and some other private companies and bought up large quantities of freeze-dried food. There's rumors, I believe it's true, of body bags and plastic caskets and stuff like that. Lots of different things that are being stored away, and
they're being
stockpiled. I don't see them pulling out when we start having hurricanes. They don't pull that kind of stuff out.
No.
So,
no, they do not.
No, and that doesn't take you very long to see pictures of those plastic caskets that they have on standby and body bags for millions and millions and millions of people.
Right.
And they're not even hiding it anymore. You know why? Because we're so damn stupid nowadays that, you know, the population's in some kind of coma when it comes to all this. And
they don't want to,
you know, and like I said, 2 years ago, I'm just making movies, I'm raising my family, and now all of a sudden, you know, my whole mentality has changed. Thank God, because Gary Haven had the foresight to say, being bold enough. And let me tell you, Gary Haven is a man that doesn't need this. He owned the Curves franchise. He's the chairman of the board at Ginny Craig. He is an amazing man. He doesn't need this, but yet he goes, you know what, with my resources, I'm sick and tired of it, and I'm going to expose it.
Yeah, the problem is a lot of people are going to think that this is just a movie, like The Terminator or something.
But the truth is that it's the truth. It is. We call it a true story that just hasn't happened yet. But actually, a lot of it has happened. And if anybody thinks there's not any UN troops here on American soil, that's ridiculous. You know, and while we were filming, during filming is when the whole Jade Helm thing started popping up, and you saw the trucks, you know, UN, all this stuff moving around Texas. And I was floored. I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Right in the middle of this movie, this is happening? You know? And so then we get to another part of the movie. We hear something. And now all of a sudden, North Korea, they're firing off missiles all over the place and threatening us left and right. And it's really sad that it's come to that point in our country that's how we're having to live. You know, as an American citizen, it really bothers me that's what it's come to. But it's here, and now it's okay. What do we do about it? You know, what do we do? And that's kind of where I'm at right now. And it's a struggle for me because, you know, my first and foremost thing is I got to protect my wife. I got to protect my children. But what does that look like? I mean, really, really, what does that look like? And I really spend a lot of time in my heart thinking about this. Because, look, I've already been bullied around by certain people trying to bully me around a little bit because of this movie. The death threats. I mean, the first one my daughter found online, and it freaked her out, saying, somebody's going to put a bullet in my head. Well, it's got to be some liberal left-wing person who hates guns, you know? That's the person that's apparently after coming out to get me. But I'm curious as to, you know, where will I be if that time comes, if somebody comes and knocks on my door and says, hey, Mike Norris, we want your guns. You know, that's a real possibility happening. And I'm trying to justify what my actions really would be.
Personally, I'm going to close the door. I'm going to tell them, where's your warrant? I don't care.
Yeah, of course. That's first. But then they come and kick it in.
Right, they kick it in. So what? What are you going to do then?
Yeah, I'll be on the news.
You know, I spent some time last week with Lavoie Finsicum's daughter. Now, there's a man right there, and it was so crazy because when I was watching the news and I saw him, when he sat on the ground and he goes, "I'm not leaving. The only way I'm leaving is dead," and sure enough. What was it, two weeks later? They murdered him. They murdered him on the side of that road. And I had the opportunity to meet his daughter. I was at an Oath Keepers event down in Austin. We screened the movie, and we were down there with the Oath Keepers. And what a lovely, lovely young woman, 22 years old, lost her father. And that guy's a hero. Man, that guy, he had his principles, and he stood on them. And it's a tragic, sad thing. But, you know, God bless him, because that was a man that he stood up for his convictions to the death.
You know, Mike, we were talking about that when that went down. And it was my contention that there has to be more video out there that's being suppressed. There has to be. There's no way that there's not. There's got to be body cam footage. There's got to be sound. There's got to be a lot more out there. And the government suppressed it because they don't want to have another Ruby Ridge on their hands.
No, you're 100% right. But I'll tell you what, just with this election cycle going on, if anybody could show me a peaceful way out of this, I'd love to hear it. But I don't see a peaceful way out of it.
I don't.
You know, Mr. Mike, a lot of us preppers, especially new preppers, someone within a family like ourselves becomes enlightened. And then we want to start learning more, reading more. We're saying, okay, I need to do something. So you start doing things like saving a lot of food, guns, ammo, all kinds of stuff. Sometimes we have problems with spouses. Sometimes we have spouses on board or other family members, you know, criticize you. What about you and your wife and your family, if you don't mind me asking, in general?
That's a great question. My wife takes care of the family. She takes care of the kids. She takes care of me. She doesn't want to really hear it, even though she has to hear it on a daily basis because she produced a movie about it.
She's knee deep.
But that's okay because that's going to be my job. That's going to be my job is when that happens. I'm the one, hey, if the power goes off, you know, or if we need something done around the house or my wife, she takes care of it. Don't have to worry about a thing. But when this happens, that's when I have to step in, and then it becomes my show. Now, I do have one daughter who is also a star, one of the stars of this movie, Greta, mm-hmm. who was in the film. She plays a young 15-year-old girl that is all gung-ho until she's faced with a situation that scares her. And she's the only one in my family that she's on my side on this one. But no, my wife's not for it. My wife's not against it. It's just like there's life that takes place, and that's where her head's at. And she knows where the guns are. She knows where the food's at. She knows everything. But, you know, it's just not her thing. And that's where, as the man, as the husband of this family, that's when I have to step in. Right. And like I said, we've got to, you know, without saying, you know, anything, I have a plan in place. I have a plan in place. If it hits the fan, I have a plan in place. Two of them, actually. I just
that's
me and his ranch on one of them.
Yeah, it sounds very similar. It sounds very similar between my wife and myself. I mean, my wife is like, say what? Really? No, really? And then I explain it to her, and it's like, look, you know, just facts, right? And it's pretty hard to argue about it. And she's like, she doesn't disagree with me, but she's like, she says just like this, well, you're the man of the house, and you're the leader, and I will follow. And my wife is probably just like your wife, where, well, you know what? Until that time happens, we still have today. And you're probably like myself, saying, yes, we worry about today, but you know what? We also have to worry about what if. So,
exactly. And that is that what if is what our movie's about. The whole movie is about what if. And then what?
Mm.
What if the power grid does go down? Now what? What if martial law does happen? Now what? And you know, this, you know, we could call it a subculture, we could call it whatever, but I just think these are patriots that love this country so much that they're willing to fight on this soil to fight against the tyranny of our government.
Right.
Oh yeah. A lot of people would be very surprised how much Americans will stand together when the time comes right. Look what happened after 9/11.
I mean,
people band together like you don't see in any other country, in my opinion. Maybe I'm biased, but
I think you're right. I think you're right, but I'm very disenfranchised with our government. I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. And just through my relationship with Gary Haven, this is a man mm-hmm. that gets phone calls from presidents.
Wow.
Not so much the Obama administration. All they caused Gary were headaches. But you know, in this election cycle, I've heard calls coming in to him from, you know, at the time there was 10 people in, everybody was calling Gary because he's one of the larger contributors to the Republican party. And he mm-hmm. he says there's no way. There's no way because he is not on board with just about anything going on right now. And that's actually up to him to speak of, but he's staying on the sidelines, trusting nobody, and in his views, he's not even sure there will be an election. He's not
really?
Even sure. He feels that there could be a false flag event that would create such chaos in this country that the election would be canceled. Now, I don't know where that falls within the Constitution, the laws, or anything, but, man, that is a scary scenario there.
Yeah, it is.
That would be. That's a revelation by itself.
And all the politicians, except for one, all the politicians are bought and paid. I heard the messages. Come on, Gary, we need your support for Ted Cruz. Can you please donate? Kasich. It was wild. I got a phone call a year ago from the Kasich campaign going, hey, could you endorse John Kasich and things like that? And
really?
I'm going, I don't even know who John Kasich is. And
right.
Look, he's the last establishment guy standing. And definitely ain't going for Hillary or Bernie. I mean, that's ridiculous. But it's just – so I've been privy to conversations. And like I said, Gary is very – he's retired, very well read, very well researched. He gets briefings from places that I don't know how he gets briefings. And so that's where – that's where I'm getting – because, he's able to do that while I'm out getting the movie out to the marketplace.
Right.
So have you seen any political or special interest criticism in making this movie?
Hollywood's killing me right now. They're making my life so miserable.
Why? They don't want to make it.
Yeah. Well, they don't want to make it like this. Hollywood likes to tinker with, these big issues that you and I agree with. But they dress, like I said, they dress it up. They turn it into another story. But, this is how stupid America is. They go, this was such a great movie. But in reality, what they're doing is telling the people how stupid you really are. That's what they're doing. And what we've done is this is just a straight movie of facts, boom, 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 all the way down the line.
And you have more movies in the pipeline, don't you?
Yeah. We'd like to, I think if this does well, I think the concept is good enough of possibly doing, kind of like a Jericho TV series, maybe a year after, the EMP has gone off. And what does the world look like then? Maybe even 3 months after. Excuse me, my dog. Max, close that door, please.
It's all right. We all got dogs.
We all have dogs.
Yeah, but it's like, what would the world look like at that point? The disease, people fighting for their lives, people, what would it look like there? So, if by chance this resonates with the public and they come out to support it, I would like to really attack this, through a TV series and keep the story ongoing and fresh on a weekly basis, but continue telling the truth. Look at all the, guys, how many stories do you have? I bet you each could pop off 10 great stories right now. I'd go, man, there's a TV show. And that's what I want to bring together, this community. Let's bring this community together. Let's do something that resonates with all of us in one way, but also the people that aren't sure yet, that they know about it, but they're not even remotely prepared. And that's what I'd like to get to see. People's lives are at stake here. People's lives are at stake.
The entire civilization. If America falls, the entire world is going to fall like a domino. In 24 hours, it'll be done.
The thought of that just boggles my mind, how that would look. Because I, as a film director, everything to me is visual. So, I'm not up there looking at my rations. I'm looking at, I see it in a pot of boiling water that I've had to, pull out of a pool or a pond or whatever. So I look at things that way. And there's a lot of people out there, a lot of people that really need to know it. They would be interested in it. And then once they're informed enough, I would hope that most of the people would make the right decision and just at least have the bare necessities.
Mike, let me ask you this.
Yep.
With your in this industry that you're in, how can we, besides contacting the theaters, you know, the chain, you know, those that own the chains, how can we get them to influence them to carry your film? Because I've sent emails to my local theater. I never heard back from them at all. How does it work? How do they decide what movies to carry and which ones not to?
Well, it was kind of a difficult process because we just weren't ready to get the film out there. We were literally working on this film last week, trying to, you know, put on some final touches, fix some glitches we had, you know, and it's like another, you know. So to your question is, you know what, I just think on our website, AmerigeddonTheMovie.com, is a list of all the theaters that we're in. If anybody's in those areas, please come support the film. And I understand full well that somebody's going to have to drive by three movie theaters or something to go see our film. And that does not go unnoticed and unappreciated by us. But, you know, it's really still, you know, calling your theaters, demanding the movie. Hey, we want this movie. Now, there are certain places, they're just going to laugh at you. But and me, because I've done the same thing. I've had to call theaters, hey, I've got this movie, I'd like to carry it in your theater. And boy, I've had the door slammed in my face so many times. So what we've done, we went and did some research, some market research, and we found out where the largest groups of you know, NRA people, preppers, you know, Tea Party, just anybody that may have interest in this. And so what we did was we went to those places and fought hard to get the movie in those areas. Look, Los Angeles, they're not going to take our movie. New York, they're not going to take our movie. But, you know, we're in Phoenix. We've got some theaters in Phoenix. Texas, we got a lot of theaters in Texas. Denver, Grand Rapids, Michigan, a lot of great patriots and militias in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, what we did was we took the time and the resources to go, how do we get the movie closest to the people that may be interested in this? And that's about as far as we could get. For all the other people around the country, it really is just getting a group of people together saying, hey, you know what, we could get 200 people to come see this movie in your theater if you play it. And, I mean, that's what it really boils down to for them, just getting people into the theaters to, you know, because they get all the money. The theaters get all the money for this. I mean, it's not like, you know, if it were just this, for some reason we just got blessed and it just did really good, we are prepared on the second week to go everywhere. Because you know what? They cannot deny you. If there is a success, if they see a success happening, they cannot well, they can, but they won't deny, because all of a sudden now the dollar starts talking. And those theaters will open up like you wouldn't believe. But we just got to get through this first weekend, get support, you know, do a good, have a good perception of success, and then the doors will open. And it's interesting. Sony Pictures has picked up the movie for the DVD, the video on demand, and all that. And and they did it not because they were so much like, wow, this is a great movie, we've got to get behind it. They're like, holy cow, we see their market research they did. We've noticed the population of people that support this. We have to get behind this film. So October 1st is when the film comes out on DVD, on video on demand, Netflix, what, you know, whatever it is. It'll be coming out. And Sony, it'll be the first picture Sony and our distributor are doing together. So that's a great thing. I mean, that's a great thing, because with it being the first picture coming out with this new deal, they're going to get behind it and support it. And that's great, because, like I said, I've had nothing but resistance from Hollywood. Just to, for instance, the Motion Picture Association of America. It's, you have to get your film rated. We're going to be in, you know, if we were in one-off theaters, it wouldn't have mattered. But we're in Harkins, AMC, Cinemarks, Regals, and you have to be a rated film. So we sent the film off to the MPAA. Never thinking anything, just, you know, give it back. What do we need to do? It's going to be PG-13. They came back with an R rating. Now, this
why?
Is a movie, exactly. This is a movie that we say crap, I think, twice. And I think somebody call is the SOB words used once. And that's our cussing in the movie. We have no nudity, but a couple people get shot and they bleed. They wanted that blood out of there. And I'm going, are you kidding me? And it's not like, you know, these big Marvel comic book movie things where blood splattering everywhere and you could show your boobs and say two F-words in a movie and get a PG-13. We just got, they shut us down. So I had to go back in, remove some of this stuff that they found offensive. But what I came to find out was it's a political movie going against the establishment, going, you know,
right.
And they just made our life kind of a little rough because, you know, we're not a big movie. We did not spend tens of millions of dollars on this movie. It was done as a very independent film. We had a tight budget, and we worked our butts off. Everybody here in Texas worked their butts off to get this film done. And, you know, so we're not – we just don't believe in wasting money. It's stupid. You know, nobody had any big trailers. We had what we needed, and we went out and shot the movie. And so to get this resistance now is a little rough. And it kind of goes all the way, you know, I'm in some things right now, so I don't want to, you know, say too much. But, you know, just getting the film approved through quality control, things will come back, these really petty little things that, I mean, I've never seen before. So we have to fix them and send them back. So anything we do in Hollywood has been rough. Now, I do everything else right here in Texas. We've got our own crews. We've got everything right here in Texas. Never a problem. Never a problem. So we are so far outside. Oh, and it's already been told to me by one of the actors' agents that don't ever think about trying to go to Hollywood to make a film because you are not welcome.
Of course
not. Wow.
Yeah, so I said, I haven't been there in a while, so I'm not going
to
worry about it.
Yes, do not stand up to the state, sir.
Yeah.
The thought police are on your are looking out for you.
Well, yeah, and then when my dad saw the movie, he goes, "Oh, son, I got some bad news for you." And I go, "Oh no, you hated it." And he goes, "You are now on the list I'm on." And I go, "Oh,
yeah,
shoot." I'm going to wear that as a badge of honor.
Yeah, everybody likes your dad.
Yeah, but, you know, he speaks his mind on his articles, and, you know, he's a diehard patriot. And,
he is.
And so, yeah, hey, I've been living in my father's shadow for a long time, and it's a great place to be. I'm so happy to live in that shadow. But once he told me that, all of a sudden, I kind of popped outside the shadow for a little bit, and the sun got hot.
Didn't your dad just have a birthday?
Yeah, March 10th, 76.
Okay.
And let me tell you, he's a stud. He's a stud.
He's the man. He is the man, without a doubt.
He really is. And, you know, it was so great. I was a director on the Walker Texas Ranger series for a long time. And, you know, that was really the last thing he's done. I mean, he did the Expendables, but, you know, on Walker Texas Ranger, he was right in his element, playing a Texas Ranger, and he was the boss. I mean, he's the boss on the set. He was the boss off the set. And it was just so much fun thinking back to those days working with him. And, you know, you don't really direct Chuck Norris. You just kind of direct everybody else, and Chuck Norris tells you what to do. And I say, yes, sir. But it was great because, you know, I'd be sitting there, you know, directing an episode, and my dad and I had such great chemistry. From an early age, my dad and I, when he was a karate teacher, I was, you know, I took karate, and I was in his class. And so every weekend, we'd have to go try to drum up students for his karate school. So, you know, we'd put these little fight scenes together, and, you know, the guy comes and pushes you, and the little kid beats up the big guy. And we had so much fun doing that. And it was just so wild that, you know, fast forward 30 years, we're doing a, you know, Walker, Texas Ranger, and we'd have stuntmen on the set. And if my dad was doing a fight scene and it wasn't going exactly how he wanted, or somebody wasn't reacting exactly how he wanted, he'd say, get your butt out of that chair, go to wardrobe, get dressed, we're doing this fight scene right now. But I always knew, I know my dad so well, and I know how he likes to do things so well, that I could jump right in, get it done, get it done right, and then move on with the day. And that, there was that much trust, because he could throw a kick and miss me. He'd put a piece of paper in between there. And it was just great. I'm sitting here staring at a picture of my dad uppercutting me in one of the walkers, and I was up about 6 feet in the air, and I broke my back on the way down.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so I've got some battle wounds from my dad, and some of them I deserved.
Now, do you have your own studio set up in Texas?
You know, I don't have a studio, but I do have a company I work with, MPS Studios, here in Dallas. They're kind of a one-stop shop for me. Great people. They've been helping me for years on my projects. I get everything from all my camera equipment, all my grip and electric equipment, and then on the other side, we do all our post-production. But yeah, I everything right here in Dallas.
So you don't actually need Hollywood for really anything.
No, I don't need Hollywood. You know, it makes it a little difficult sometimes. You know, like when I'm trying to book theaters and
screw them.
Things like that. But no, I left. Hey, you know, when we were working on Walker, I had one small young daughter when we started Walker, and then I had two more kids. And when we were done, I'm like, man, am I really going back to L.A.? For 10 years, I've built a very nice life here in Texas. Am I going back to L.A.? And my wife and I sat down and talked to her, and we said, no, we can make it work here. Let's make it work here. And that's what we strive for. Not to say my career could be better in Hollywood. I could jump into the machine, make more money, whatever it is. But my life is good here in Texas. And I believe Texas is really going to be a safe haven when the stuff hits the fan. I believe Texas could be a place that could actually shine a little bit of light on things. I think there's enough people here with the infrastructure that know what's going on, that are awake enough. I believe Texas is going to be bad, but better off than
most.
New York City or L.A.
Oh yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
California is going to break off and fall right into the ocean.
Hey, let me tell you, I was in that earthquake. I was 6 miles from the epicenter of that Northridge earthquake, and my wife was pregnant with my daughter at the time. And my wife's from Chicago, so after that earthquake, she says,
"That's where I'm at.
Let's get out of here." And I'm like, well, I was commuting to Dallas work, and I said, all right, well, let's just go to Dallas. And so we came here, and here we've been ever since, and this is home.
Excellent.
Do you
most excellent.
Do you see? I've written some to your crew there. I don't know who it went to. Maybe general inquiries, but I didn't hear anything back yet. What I was curious about was, like, I believe that you're making this movie to tell a message. It's more than just a entertainment blockbuster type movie. It's and to make money. I truly believe that you're trying to tell a message because of everything that's involved. Well, do you think that I'm hoping I'm not putting you on the spot, but maybe you can connect me with someone who I can talk to about doing, like, getting a DVD or some movie, because in the state of Missouri, you're not scheduled for any. B&B Movie Theaters is the eighth largest movie theater chain in America, and I can't get any answers from them either. And
yeah.
So
got the same
do you think that
Illinois.
It's possible that some people could have, like, the movie and go to churches and communities somewhere and just help distribute this, like you're giving a message?
Yeah, because in reality, that's what this film is. Like I said earlier on, it was very apparent this was more than just a movie. This is
right.
An educational tool. This is a thank you to our patriots, to the people that understand it and are ready to fight. It's a thank you to them. And it's and it's entertaining. You know, we've got some great characters in there, and so yeah, it was very apparent early on. This is unlike anything I've ever done. This will not be released like anything I've ever done, and this is far more than a movie. It is definitely a cause, and it was designed that way early on by Gary Haven. It was that's mm-hmm. exactly what it was, and he says he feels it in his heart that he needs to help educate in any way possible people that are not awake, don't understand what's going on. Let's give it to
right.
them in a movie. But
well, it's easier to do.
You know what? Off air, I'll give you my phone number and email address, and I could put you in touch with the right people that could make that happen. It's funny because Gary was just in Missouri today. He just came back from Missouri.
Oh. I mean, of course.
Now, what
you
part
know,
of Missouri are you guys in?
I'm from.
Go ahead.
He's up in Illinois, and I'm down in Missouri, right outside Fort Leonard Wood.
Is that by Branson?
No, it would be north of Branson. It would be like, you know where Rolla and Springfield are?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm in between those two.
Oh, okay. Okay, great.
Right on the highway.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
NSA, did
yeah,
you hear that?
Go get I'll get your information. I'll make sure somebody gets in touch with you. Because, you know, we've been asked that question, hey, can we have the movie for a night to rent it and have our own screening? And we're getting so many of those requests that, and some people just aren't going to be able to get to it, plain and simple. The movie's not going to be available near them. So,
right.
You know, we're kind of really focused in, and I think by the end of this week, we're done booking our theaters. We've had a number of inquiries from a lot of people about, hey, can we just get this movie and put it in a theater for ourselves? And I don't see why we can't do that. So I will definitely make sure that you talk to the right person that can make that happen.
Yeah.
I apologize for nobody getting back to you, but shoot, man, this is a mom and pop operation we got going on here.
Oh no, it's okay.
I like mom and pop operations.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they're
so
much
easier
to deal with.
And but the way that I'm looking at it is like, well, I'm not in it for the money. You know, I'm not trying to do anything, but I do have contact with, at least here in Missouri, our militia.
Mm-hmm.
And our Oath Keepers and mm-hmm. some prepper groups and stuff like that. And So it would be special screenings to highlight them more of anything.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
But also to highlight the message behind the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so personally, it's nothing for me. I just get the honor of being able to present it and be able to get more people, because that's what we do here in Contra Radio Network. We don't get paid.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't.
Hey, you sound like a film director.
We don't get paid. We just do it.
Yeah, you sound like a film director. If your movie makes a little money, you get paid.
You know,
it's been a topic of discussion on our end, and you know, we want to look. I'm not greedy, and I know Gary Haven is definitely not greedy, because he is the most generous man I've ever met in my life. And what we want to do is we want to find partnerships with people that, you know, can bring groups together, can have screenings, and do something where everybody benefits from it. So
right.
that is definitely something that I'll definitely love to talk to you guys about and put you in right with the right people.
Oh yeah,
well,
because
if
you want to talk about, you know, you say like you approach one of the militias of whatever state,
mm-hmm.
and you say, would you be interested in helping us format a screening? And say a movie theater or something, or maybe a church, a very big church with a movie theater screen. And, you know, they can help out with the marketing, trying to get more people. And not just the militia, but also the public at large.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I will, I'm going to make that happen. I'm going to make that happen and have the right people that can make those decisions do that, because it has been something we've talked about. It's just the theaters, they got some weird thing, but hey, we owe nobody anything on this movie, so I think we can just do about what we want.
Plus, it would
be a great
opportunity for reaching out in Mid-America or wherever we're doing this and do like a little market survey. What did you think about it? Would you like to see another movie like this? What if this was a TV show?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the message? You know, things like that. And that could help you in the future for investors or what have you to make another movie.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And,
I think that if you do a TV show, I think that one of your heroes should be an educated hillbilly from Missouri.
Okay, so I've got an educated hillbilly from Missouri. I got a pistol-packing preacher from West Virginia. He also wants that role. Alex Jones wants some role. Who else? It's just going to be everybody I've been impressed with. They're the whole movie.
Pick me.
And we're all connected by ham radio.
There you go. Yeah, we use ham radio in the movie, too.
Yeah, you
need
to get someone real good looking to play my role, though. You had to get a real good looking guy.
Well, that's awesome, guys. So, listen, I'm going to have to get moving on now. But how is this recorded? Can I give you an email address over this?
Yes,
tell you what.
It is being recorded.
And then you can cut this part out.
I hope I can. I've never had to try to do this before.
Well, you have John Jeffers' email,
you know,
and you
can
send that information to him.
Okay.
Yeah, send it to Stacy, and I'll just send it, and I can just forward it. That's not a problem.
Yeah, and I'll put all my information on there, and that way, you know what, if you guys need anything, you come right to me.
You know what, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight. I'll tell you,
it's been a real honor and a pleasure. And, hey, I just want to say thank you to you guys. You know, it's not easy what you do. And it is just like this film, it's a passion that you guys are doing, and you're trying to wake people up and save people's lives in Contra Radio. I mean, I'm so impressed, and I just want you guys to know that I'm going to now start blasting out you guys so more people can come to you.
Well, I've got to tell you, Mike, we got 7,000 to 8,000 listeners a month, and
dang,
they're all good people. And it just started out as just me, just, you know, chatting by myself, and that was a year and a half ago. And I got to tell you, you're one of the big guys that we've got on here, one of our big bats, and I'm really glad that we got you on here.
How many countries are we in? Ever have a show and you're like, oh man, we don't have a guest tonight, give me a call.
Oh,
I'd love to talk to you guys.
I will. That by the way, we do have an international following too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because, you know, like I said early on, we did a lot of market research and we kind of gathered all the data, and trailer's been viewed over, we're closing in on 3 million views on the trailer, but we're able to do a data grab or something. I'm a techno idiot,
cool,
but it's amazing where people are watching, mm-hmm, and then signing up to, you know, become part of the newsletter. And they have Australia,
right,
Canada, Brazil,
mm-hmm,
all over the place.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so amazing.
But, yeah.
You know,
so,
I want to be able to get a hold of you some other time because, like I said, I know you got to run. You probably got other people that got to call and whatnot. So I want to say goodnight. And thank you, Mike, so much for taking, you know, I mean, I know your time's probably very, you know, stretched to the max right now.
It's all good.
But I say thank you. I just say thank you so much.
And like I said, anytime after this, Stacia's going to give you my information. You need me, you call me direct.
Oh, very nice. Very cool.
God bless
you,
Mike, and everything that you and your staff are doing. Because
good stuff.
We've got to do something.
It's coming down. It ain't going to be pretty, that's for sure.
It ain't going to be pretty. Boy, that's the truth.
It really is.
Yeah. Hey, guys, thank you so much, and just have an awesome evening, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you for taking the time for us, my friend.
You got it.
You always got friends here. All right, Mike. All right. Well, Terry, what do you think?
Oh, is that awesome or what? I mean, he's a pretty level-headed guy.
He is. He's just telling how it is. I like it.
He's a true believer. I think we should just go on down to Texas, see how he's doing. No, I'm just kidding.
It might be.
He'll put us in a movie.
I got Mitch down there. I could send Mitch down there. Have Mitch and some of the other boys make the trip over there. But, I think you heard what he said, my audience, my friends, my listeners, preppers and patriots out there, get a hold of your local theater. Go tell them you want to see Armageddon. You want it shown. And there you go. I thought it was interesting about his dad. It's like, wow. I didn't know that Mike was directing part of, you know, the Texas Rangers. I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of his bio. You know, and for our listeners, stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Because according to what he says, if we can get things worked out, we might be coming to a theater near you.
It could.
I mean,
could very well.
What if we could get this distributed as a network, mm-hmm, towards state militias across the country? And then
we help promote
the state militias. We also get to do good marketing for the movie and for the cause, because it's kind of like a cause, not just a movie.
Well, yeah, it is.
Next thing you know, we got into more films being made like this.
I according to them, they're making more. And I don't think the rated R is going to hurt them. If anything, I think the rated R is probably going to help them get more money from the box office. For some reason, people see PG-13 and they think, oh, it's a kid's movie, and they won't go see it. But if it says rated R, a lot of people will go see it just because it's rated R and it's not PG-13. So I'm thinking that it's probably going to help them as opposed to hurt them.
Oh, they're fine. I tell you what, my son will go. My son is 16, but even if he was like of age of understanding, like say 15 or 12 or something like that, he would go because I believe that this movie is okay. And I bet you that this movie is going to be a hell of a lot better than that Deadpool. I took my son to Deadpool, and I regret that so much. That movie was terrible,
you know,
to take a kid.
It was garbage.
Even for me, I'm thinking comic book. Yeah, no problem.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. The first 10 minutes, I thought, are you kidding me? Thank God I had it on the Cody box. I turned it off. I said, I'm not watching this garbage. I'm not going to do it.
I mean, I was like, I'm sorry, son. I really had no idea. I thought this was like a comic book thing, you know, which it is. But
right.
I'm an old infantry NCO, and it was embarrassing to me. I don't even talk like that.
No, but there are people out there that not only talk like that, but they think that's the way everybody else talks, and that's their vernacular. It's like, are you kidding me? So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think Armageddon is going to be, it could be very well opening a door. Now, if Mike's dad said, oh, son, you're on the same boat as me from now on, I think it's going to be okay for him. I think Mike's going to be okay.
If I was him and knowing how his dad is, you know, how proud he is and not unabashed patriot, I would be like, well, that's a badge of honor. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, it is. And that's the way Mike looks at it. You know, he and his dad are very close. And I was going to ask him what his dad thought about it. And if Chuck Norris says, if it's got the Chuck Norris seal of approval, it's okay by me. That's the way I'm looking at it. Well, you know. So this goes out to Mike Norris, the director of Armageddon. If you're still listening, buddy, this one's for you. Yes, by all means.
He's a great guy. I wish maybe one day we could meet him in person because
might be able to.
That he just seems like
he seems like a down to earth guy. He does.
Right.
He gets it.
He understands it. You know.
So. All right, my friend.
He understands the situation at hand.
All right. What I'm going to do is let's try it. Let's end the show early, see if I can get into this thing and see if I can't find a way to edit like the first 20 minutes of the show here. What a disaster the first 20 minutes were. Oh, good God. And I said my headphones and mic is snapped in two. So I'm sitting here holding it up with one hand to my ear trying to talk. It's like, oh, good God, can anything else bad go on right now? So let me try to get this taken care of. Let's see if I can figure a way to edit this, and then we'll be back on Saturday night. All right?
All right.
All right, brother. You have a good one. Are you home yet?
No, I pulled over so we can do the interview deal.
I'll tell you. Well, I want you to be safe getting home there, man.
Even though it's all hands-free, I just wanted to focus on what we're doing. Good thing. I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good. So I'll try and figure out how to edit this thing down. For my prepper and patriot friends, I say to you tonight, thank you, first of all, for putting up with us, especially me and this new technical problems I'm having. It seems to be fixed now. I want to say be safe, be vigilant, and be alert. Anything else, Mr. Terry?
Oh, stay tuned. The new TV series of Armageddon, starring your local educated hillbilly will be on. He'll be a very good-looking character.
On most of these stations? Oh, I'm sure he is. And why?
He'll be a moonshiner.
All right. All right, buddy. I'll get all of you a bit later.
Right, man. All right.
Good
night, America.
Because I got some things I got to share with you. Good night, America. Thanks for listening to Contra Rio Network. We'll see you again Saturday night at 8 p.m. Central Daylight Savings Time. Until that time, say goodnight. Thanks again for bearing with us. I'm John Jeffers. Good night.
At Johnsonville, we understand it was a long, cruel winter, and having to deal with it day after day drove many of us to do things we're not necessarily proud of.
I beat my snowblower with a baseball bat.
I cursed the sky and cried a little.
I flipped off the weatherman on television and in person.
I stayed in and streamed 13 straight episodes of some stupid show.
I knocked the head off my neighbor's snowman because I thought it was mocking me.
Okay, so we're not proud of how we dealt with winter, but the weather's finally taken a turn, and so can we. So let's fire up the grill and cook some Johnsonville brats. Ah, that's the sound of redemption. One bite of those juicy Johnsonville brats made with premium cuts of pork, and our whole attitude changes.
I'm going to invite my neighbors over for a cookout.
I'm going to invite the weatherman over.
And even though our grilling skills may be a little bit rusty, people still won't be able to get enough. And we're definitely proud of that. Johnsonville, served with pride since 1945.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.